Well, let's get our Bibles out this morning. And that's what we're about here is the Word of God. We want the truth. Amen. We want the truth. And I'm glad that the Lord called me to serve Him and live for Him. And there's been a lot of rocky roads along the way, but I'll tell you what, you've got to have a made-up mind, and you have to be determined in your heart. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do the will of God. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to promote the work of God and be a part in any capacity that I can be a part in. And I feel that way here this morning. Colossians chapter 2, and just want to start out. I want to do a little study this morning on Colossians chapter 2, and hopefully it will bless someone here this morning. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, and after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him, that would be in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Praise God. And I want to do a little study this morning. I'm going to actually go all the way down to verse 15, but I just want to read that, and then we'll get started here this morning. I just want to talk about the place of victory. Amen. The place of victory. Lord, we thank You for the Word of God this morning. We thank You for Your touch. Anoint the Word this morning. Anoint our ears to hear the Word. We give You honor. We give You praise. We give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody said amen. 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 That means I agree with that word. Praise God. You can be seated this morning. I believe that as children of the Lord wants us to be victorious. Anybody else believe that this morning? He wants us to be victorious in our walk with God, in our relationship with Him. And the power that we have to serve God and to have that victory in our life has come directly from the price that was paid at Calvary. Amen. And when we came into the kingdom of God, through repentance and baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, He designed us by that experience to have joy. Somebody said joy. Somebody said peace. And somebody said happiness. Joy, peace, and happiness. Anybody happy here this morning? Praise God. You got the joy of the Lord this morning, the peace of God. Amen. That's the will of God for us. And so what we sometimes do is just look at Calvary as a story of something that happened a long time ago. But what we need to do is understand what happened at Calvary, what took place, and how does it affect my personal life. If we don't understand and we don't have a comprehension of what is accomplished or what has been accomplished at Calvary, then we will fall into the trap of the enemy. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit and after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And so there is an enemy, and we must beware. Amen. We must be on guard. We must look and see. There's got to be a keeper at the gate of our life and our mind and our heart, because the enemy wants to spoil. That word spoil there is relates to a military term. And it is when one is victorious over another, they go and steal everything that they have as the spoil of that battle. And it is the enemy's desire to take everything you have away from you. Amen. To take everything that God has given you, the blessings that God has given you, and to take it away. But I want to preach about victory here this morning. We're going to reverse the roles here today. And he's not going to take away from us. We're going to take away from him. Amen. If you'll write the scripture down and read it when you get home, Exodus chapter 1 and verse 9, the Pharaoh was in charge of all of the children of Israel. They had been in charge of them for 400 years. That's a long time. And they were enslaved to them for 400 years. And, you know, after a period of time, you get into a mindset. And because it's always been this way, we talk about tradition of men. And the tradition of men is because it's always been that way. We've done it for so long that now it's become a part of us. And tradition is not always a bad thing, but many, many times it is a bad thing. It's a dangerous thing. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit. But Exodus chapter 1 and verse 9, in a back room somewhere where nobody could hear and nobody understood what was being said behind the scenes, here's Pharaoh speaking to his people. Now get a hold of this. He said unto his people, "Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we." Praise God. They never went and announced that to Israel. They never told the leaders of the 12 tribes this, but this was something that was spoken in private, in secret. And I believe this morning that there are conversations in hell. Amen. There are conversations among the demons of hell, the fallen angels that are talking about you and talking about me, talking about the work of God, and they don't have anything positive to say. Amen. It's all negative. It's all a put down. In fact, he is the accuser of the brethren. And by his accusations, which are false, he tries to bring us down. But here, he's being honest. One of the few times that Satan has been honest, he said, "The people of the children of Israel are more and they are mightier than we are." If we're not careful, if we don't deal wisely with them, if we don't approach this in the right manner, the right fashion, and we see that in politics a lot, and I'm not going to get off onto politics here this morning, they're sneaky and they're conniving and they're trying to get what they want and what the people that they serve, what they want. And here is a very, very strong truth this morning. We are more and mightier than hell. Amen. We are more and mightier than all the forces of hell put together. Praise God. One child of God filled with the Holy Ghost is more powerful than all the demons of hell. Maybe you don't believe that this morning, but I want to try to convince you before you leave here today of what we really have. And what we have goes on to verse 9 of Colossians chapter 2. We're going to look at that a little bit this morning. And it says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Amen. For in him dwelleth, in Christ Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What that lets us to know is that it wasn't one God inside of another God. It was the only one true God of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Amen. I'm going to preach about that tonight a little bit as well. I want to lift up and exalt the name of Jesus so that we can really understand who's got a hold of our heart and what he wants to do in the church. Praise God. And in our personal lives. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so there is only one God. We understand that this morning. We know there's only one God. And so who was this man, Jesus Christ? He was the propitiation for our sins. He is the mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And I wished I could just go ahead and preach my sermon for tonight. Amen. But I've got to hold it until then. There's just something about this truth of one God and who Jesus Christ is. In another scripture, it says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Amen. And so it's more than just a father saying, son, go down there and do my dirty work for me. No, it's not that way. The Lord conceived in Mary, and a child was born. There was a body. Amen. And that body became the sacrifice. He was man and he was God at the same time. Praise God. God and man at the same time. And so because of Jesus having the fullness of the Godhead bodily, he says in verse 10 of Colossians chapter 2, and ye are complete in him. Everybody said complete. Complete. Amen. Which is the head of all principalities and power, principality and power. And so what we've got to understand this morning is because the God that we serve, and his name is Jesus, amen, we've got to understand what that name embodies. We've got to understand what that name, how it relates to me and you as individuals. And in our walk with God and in our struggles, amen, because we all have our struggles. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against powers of darkness. We wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. Your battle is not a person. Most of the time, your battle is a spirit. Amen. And these spirits can look really big, and they can be very intimidating, but I want you to know this morning that we are complete in him. I don't need anything else other than Jesus Christ. Well, praise God, I am complete in him, which is the head. He is the head of all principality and power. And so what we understand then is that he is God, because only God only God has all authority and power. Praise God. With God, nothing is impossible. There's only one thing that God cannot do, and that is he cannot lie. Amen. And so what we have this morning is the truth of the Word of God. And it's awesome when you begin to look at it. Praise God. You are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So when we are in him, we have victory. Praise God. When we are in him and we understand who we are and we are watching, we are bewaring so that the enemy does not come by a subtle way and spoil that which what he has given to us. Amen. And it is wonderful what he's given to us. It is a treasure in earthen vessels. Amen. It is the Holy Ghost, the earnest of the Spirit of God that he has given to us. Amen. And through that, he has given us the victory. Amen. All right. And so I could go on about one God here this morning. I love that scripture. But let's go to verse 11. And he says, in whom also, in whom, that would be in Christ. So in Christ, we are complete in him, in verse 10. In verse 11, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. All right, what is he talking about there? What he's really referring to and giving to us is a understanding of what circumcision was about in the Old Testament and what circumcision, the spiritual circumcision, that takes place when we come to God. He lets us know there in verses 8 through 10 that we are complete in him. And now he's going to let us know how we are complete in him and what it takes to be found in him and not to be turned away. And so he starts out here with circumcision, and that is the circumcision made without hands. It is a new covenant that God is going to give and has given to you and I through spiritual circumcision. I think that probably all of us here this morning understand what circumcision is, and it is the cutting away of the flesh. It was a situation in the Old Testament where if you were not circumcised, you could not be in the kingdom of God or in the family of God. It was essential. And I want to say this morning, it's still essential, not in the physical sense, but in the spiritual sense. One is a picture of another. It is a type and a figure of something better that is going to come. And it actually caused a lot of confusion and trouble in the New Testament church in the book of Acts. And Paul writes about it in his epistles, that there were some that told the Gentiles, you cannot be saved unless you are circumcised. That is how powerful that was in the Old Testament. And in fact, circumcision was required of Abraham. And Abraham was pre-law. Abraham was there before there was any law. But God said, if you want to be a part of me, you're going to have to do this. And so Abraham did it. Most of the time, children, in fact, in the Old Testament, they were circumcised on the eighth day. 8 days old, they were to be circumcised. And I have read, I'm not sure if it is valid or not, but I've read that the very best time to circumcise a child is at the 8 day period. And so they would circumcise the child. They would circumcise. I cannot imagine, children, little children, 8 days old, can't remember the pain and all of that. But I can only imagine the pain and the suffering that Abraham went through, and those that were circumcised in his household, the pain that they went through when they were circumcised. And I won't spend a lot of time on that, but it was essential. Amen. It was essential because if we are not circumcised, we cannot be of God. And so the circumcision is the cutting away of the flesh. The circumcision is casting aside that which is of the flesh. And we know that the flesh loves this world. Scripture says that all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are not of God, but they are of the world. And the world will pass away, But he that doeth the will of God will abide forever. I want to abide forever. And I know that you do as well. And so there is the cutting away of that which is not pleasing to God. There is the circumcision, the spiritual circumcision. Philippians 3:3, he said, we are the circumcision. Speaking of the New Testament church, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. Amen. And we have no confidence in the flesh. Praise God. So what's he talking about when he talks about circumcision? What he's talking about here is repentance. Amen. And too often we downplay repentance and we just say, well, just say I'm sorry for my sins and that's good enough. But I'm telling you this morning, that's not what repentance is. Amen. That is a prelude. That is the beginning of repentance. And if you want to look at it, Romans 6:6, the Bible talks about it here. And it says, knowing this, that the old man or the old fleshly ways is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth or hereafter we should not serve sin. Amen. Israel served Egypt, and every one of us here this morning served sin before we came to God. Even if you were a child, amen, we were under that penalty of sin, and we were led by our fleshly ways. You might as well say amen this morning. But there's got to be some things that are cut off. Jesus said, if your hand offends you, cut it off. If your foot offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. What he's talking about is repentance. What he's talking about is coming to a place of total surrender to God. Amen. Just like Abraham did, he left his family. He left his friends, he left his business associates, and wandered in the wilderness, not knowing where he was going, but he was following after God. Amen. For some people, I suppose that would be easy to do. But when God said, I want you to be circumcised, now it comes down to a very serious matter. Amen. And I want you to know, Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Amen. Without repentance, we cannot be in the kingdom of God. And of course, you know, we've talked about this before, but repentance in the Greek is the word metanoeo, and it simply means to make a turn, to turn yourself, to turn away from sin. Even in the Old Testament, I believe it's the book of Ezekiel, he said, if a sinner or a wicked person will turn from their wickedness and turn to righteousness, then God would accept them. Amen. It's the same today. We've got to turn ourselves. You know what really is the spoiling of the enemy in many, many people is he will try to tell you repentance is not that important. But I'm telling you this morning, we have a great victory through repentance. And that's what I'm talking about today is victory. Amen. We are circumcised, amen, with a spiritual circumcision. And verse 11, I've already read that, but I want to read it again. In whom, this is Colossians 2:11, in whom also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now, where does that how do we know that that circumcision has been done in the realm of the Spirit? It's not something that we do only. We make it available for God, make ourselves available to God for this spiritual cutting away, if you please, but it is God that does the cutting. In Zechariah, he said, "The day is coming, saith the Lord, that I will." The laws, I'm paraphrasing this morning, but the law will not be written on tables of stone anymore, but the law will be written on the tables of the heart. Amen. By the finger of God, he will write upon the heart, and he will take away from the heart. In fact, Scripture talks about the circumcision of the heart. Amen. And sometimes we struggle in walking with the Lord because we have not totally committed ourselves and allowed the Lord, if you want to say it that way, to take away some things out of our lives. Amen. Living for God and salvation is not putting a patch on the old man. Amen. But what we've got to do is put on a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Well, praise God. There's something to holiness, but holiness starts in the heart. Jesus said, "Cleanse first that which is on the inside, that the outside may be clean also." Praise God. Well, we're working our way through this, but that's why in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, or actually verse 37, they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said unto them, "Repent." That was the very first thing. And if you go to the tabernacle in the wilderness when they approached God, the very first thing they came to was the altar of sacrifice. There had to be death that took place before there could be life. Amen. And we understand this through the gospel. Jesus Christ paid the price for us and gave us the victory. I'm thankful for that victory today. But it's all in the gospel. This truth is found in the gospel. And, you know, just ask anyone that goes to church nowadays. Many, many of them don't know what the gospel is. And I'm not saying that to be critical. It's just really a condemnation of the ministry for not promoting the truth of the Word of God. Amen. The gospel is what we are saved by, according to Scripture, and we must obey the gospel in order to be saved. And the gospel is that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. That's where our victory sits this morning. Amen. That's where we find the victory. That's where anything that we would come up against in our life can be overcome through the power of the gospel. And the gospel starts out with Jesus died. Amen. And if you're still there in Romans chapter 6, it will tell you that the old man is crucified with him, Romans 6 and 6, that the old man is crucified. Everybody said crucified. I think that's a whole lot worse than circumcision. Amen. If I had to choose between the two, I would choose circumcision over crucifixion, where your nails are driven through your hands and your feet, and for hours and hours you hang on that cross until you expire. They say that it was one of the worst ways to die was by crucifixion. And in reality, we are crucified with him when we come to that place of genuine repentance. And we look in the mirror and we don't say anymore, "Boy, that's good looking. I like what I see. I like how I live. I'm not going to change my ways." But what we do is we see ourselves as we really are by the mirror of the Word of God. And we say, "Oh God, I'm in big trouble. I've got to get this thing straightened out. I've got to stop some things. I've got to stop doing. I've got to stop sinning like I have been in the past. And I've got to turn myself away from that and come to God." Amen. You'll never have victory until you have repentance in your life. Praise the Lord. Well, Pastor, I come to church and I feel the Holy Ghost. That's not where the victory comes. Well, I come to church and I speak in tongues. That's not where the victory comes from. I'll tell you where it comes, because I'll tell you, I've seen people come to church and I've seen them speak in tongues. I've seen them come to church and sing the songs with gusto, but when they leave the house of God, they don't have victory in their life. I want us to have victory in our lives. There's got to be something that really takes place that changes me. For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. There's a death right there. When things pass away, that means they die, and they're not coming back anymore. Amen. And so we must die out. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Praise God. Are you living in the newness of life this morning? Well, praise God. Are you connecting with the Word of God this morning? Amen. I've known people that come to church and they get their color book out and they draw during church. I'm telling you this morning, you're never going to have victory until you get it down deep in your heart. This is not the place to do coloring. Amen. This is not the place to do visiting altogether. But this is a place where we get a hold of the Word of God. Amen. And the river of living water flows, so that if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus the righteous. And He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you thankful for the church this morning? I am so thankful for the church. Praise God. God has spoken to me many, many times through the ministry. Verse 11, in whom you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. That's the very first step to victory. But verse 12 gives us another thing. It says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. So let's just look at the first part of that, verse 12, buried with him in baptism. Romans chapter 6 again talks about this, and there are quite a few places in Scripture that I could read this morning. We'll just stick with Romans chapter 6. And it says in verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead, there's the death, dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death. And so the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We die with him in repentance. And then it says in verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. Amen. And so when we die with him, Scripture says we are buried with him. Amen. Baptism is not a ritual. Baptism is a spiritual experience with God. It is the place. And if you kept your finger there in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why are we being baptized? For the remission of sins. Praise God. Well, praise God. We cannot live for God when there's sin in our lives. We cannot live for God when the old sin is just covered up. Amen. Covered up by church attendance. Covered up by church activities or good works or whatever you want to call it this morning. Amen. We've got to die with him and then we must be buried. You say, well, why is that? The reason is there is no way possible for there to be a resurrection until there is a death and a burial. By the very nature of a resurrection, and that's where we need to be this morning, is in the power of the resurrection. Amen. We cannot get to a resurrection until there is a death and a burial. Praise God. Well, praise God. I'm telling you, it's a powerful thing to go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. It's not just obedience to the Word of God, but we go to the altar by faith. We go into the water by faith. Amen. And we are baptized. And in baptism, our sins are remitted. The Scripture says, for the remission of sins. That means to blot out. And I was listening to Scripture yesterday, and he said, the iniquities and the sins I will remember no more. Praise God. I'm going to forget about Egypt. I'm going to forget about the suffering that you went through. I'm not going to make you go through that anymore. I have victory for you. Praise God. And there is victory here this morning. So he says there in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, buried with him in baptism. I could go to the scriptures of baptism this morning. Amen. I don't know if I have enough time for that. But you could look at Acts chapter 10 and verse 44 through 48. Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. We could go to Acts chapter 19, and we could look at where Paul came to Ephesus, found certain disciples, and asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, we don't know about the Holy Ghost. He said, well, how were you baptized? Praise God. They said, we were baptized by John the Baptist. And I'm just really cutting it short here this morning. But Paul said, when John baptized, he said that you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And really what that is repentance, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm talking about sincere, serious believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, not flashing your lights off and on in your car at a drive-in church, amen, which does happen, amen. It's not getting a card and reading a card, amen. It's not a repeat after me situation, but I'm telling you what it is a genuine, heartfelt confession before God. And I've come to understand that sometimes, when we first come to God, we probably can't remember all the sins that we committed. And so to confess each and every one of them would probably be an impossibility. But there are times in our life, I know I've experienced this myself, that there are times that you have to say the sin out loud. Amen. God, forgive me of ... Amen. And fill in the blanks. Praise God. And what that does is it gets it out in the open. Scripture says, whosoever covers his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesses and forsakes shall have mercy. I want to have his mercy this morning. We are buried with him by baptism. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 28 and verse 19, he said, go into all the world and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. He also said, I believe it's in Luke chapter 24, verse 47, I believe. And he said that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. Everybody said his name. In his name. And so remission of sins is in the name of Jesus in the waters of baptism. You say, well, I was baptized in the titles, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Is that good enough? Well, I just want to explain something here this morning. If you're looking at Matthew 28 and verse 19, Jesus said to baptize in the name of the Father. Amen. We understand this morning that Father is not a name. Amen. I don't sign legal documents by signing the word Father, Son, or Pastor. Amen. Those are just titles of who I am. But the name denotes the totality of the individual. Amen. When someone says a certain name, if I were to say a name of some horrible criminal, if I were to say Bonnie and Clyde, most of you would say, oh, that's the reputation of those thieves and murderers. But if we speak the name of Jesus, we are literally, well, how can I say it here this morning? We are literally giving to God the glory and the honor. Maybe that's what I want to say this morning. The glory and the honor and the beauty of his name. It represents who he is. Our God is the Savior. Our God is the Redeemer. There are so many things about him that is awesome. And it is all wrapped up in a name. Jesus said to baptize in the name. So what is the name of the Father? I asked a Catholic priest after I was baptized in Jesus' name. I went back to talk to him about this new experience. And I asked him, what is the name of the Father? And he could not give me an answer. He said, I guess it's God. And I understood more than that, and it's not God, it's Jesus. The name of the Father is Jesus. You say, I need a scripture for that, Pastor. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Amen. Jesus is wonderful. Counselor, he's my counselor this morning, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father. Amen. Jesus is the name. The name of the Son is not Son, it's Jesus. The name of the Holy Ghost is not Holy Ghost, it's Jesus. God is holy, God is a spirit. Amen. And if you want to know who the Father is, I just feel this rolling out of me here this morning. If you want to know who the Father is, amen, you can go to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20 and 21, and it says the Father of Jesus is the Holy Ghost. So when we're talking about Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, amen, those are just titles of the same God. Amen. That's why we must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody said, praise the Lord.
Praise God.
All right. You didn't think I'd ever get off of that verse, but we're going to move on here to the end of verse 12. And it says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him. There's that word with him again. We are buried with him, we are crucified with him, we are buried with him, and we rise with him. And Peter said, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm not sure I'm going to have time for all this. I may pick it back up next Sunday. But we must repent. And we must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. If you have not been baptized in his name, I implore you, I beg of you this morning, Amen. Don't let the enemy spoil you through vain philosophy. Amen. And traditions of men. Praise God, because that's what it is a tradition. We need to have a real resurrection. When we rise with Him, Scripture says we rise to walk in a newness of life, a newness of life. All right, so let's go to verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Somebody ought to just get a little bit of a smile on your face this morning, because all of my past sins have been forgiven. And I know there are times that you come to the house of God or you go to God in prayer and you say, God, forgive me. And oftentimes we can say, God, forgive me for the same sin over and over again. But we must beware lest we are overcome and spoiled by philosophy. We need to have victory in God, not going back and lifting up again and again and again our failures and our faults. Amen. We are buried with Him. We are going to rise with Him. And when He filled you with the Holy Ghost, the Bible says we are quickened. Amen. He has quickened us through the power of His Spirit. That word quickened there means it denotes union. It's like with or together. It's like the word with or together. It denotes a union. Amen. We are unified with Him. We are quickened together with Him. Praise God. When Jesus came out of that tomb, He was different. Praise God. He told someone in one place, He said, "Don't touch me, for I am in my glorified body." Praise God. There's a change. And friend, I'm telling you, the change is coming very soon. When the dead in Christ shall rise first. Praise God. Is there any dead in Christ here this morning? Some of you look like you're dead in Christ. Praise God. But I'm telling you what, there is coming a day when this rapture is going to take place. And the Lord is going to call His people home. I'm looking forward to that day. I pray that it's today. I want to go home. Amen. Amen. I'm homesick for a country, praise God, where I've never been before. I'm homesick for a country. I want to see His face. Amen. But until then, I've got to maintain the victory. I've got to maintain a walk with God, amen, and I cannot do it through philosophy, traditions, or of this world, amen. Got to be buried with Him, I've got to die with Him, and I must rise with Him. And so it talks about a close union, amen. And it wasn't us that made that union, it was Him that made that union. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. We say that often at marriages. Amen. But I'm telling you what, when God puts two people or puts Himself together with another person, praise God, there is victory. Did you know when you leave the church this morning, Jesus is going to go with you? When you're in the midst of trials and tribulations, He's right there with you. Praise God. Because there is a union. Verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. I'm going to talk about this tonight as well. And maybe I'll finish this up here tonight. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. You know what He nailed to the cross? He nailed those ordinances. the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. That was the ordinances that said, you've got to bring a turtle dove or a pigeon. You've got to bring a lamb. You've got to bring an ox. You've got to bring a meal offering or whatever it is. You have to bring that. And when you bring the very best that you have to God, it does not forgive your sins, but you leave guilty, you come guilty, and you leave guilty. And I'm going to talk about that tonight because it is not the will of God. Amen. And it takes us sometimes to get that in our heads. But it is not the will of God that we live our life under a shadow of guilt. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's you, that's me. We've all fallen short. But praise God, there's victory even though we've fallen short. Because our victory is not within ourselves. It is not the obedience to ordinances. No, but it is through the handwriting of God upon the tables of our heart. Amen. They were contrary to us. Oh, the law was contrary to spiritual victory. Amen. It was there as a shadow and a figure of things to come. Verse 15, and having spoiled. Now here we are. We started out at verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you. But now in verse 15 it says, he has spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Praise God. When the Babylonians would take over another country and defeat that other country, they would spoil them of everything they had. They would tear their cities down. It was said of Babylon that there was a particular city that when they conquered it, they had to actually dig canals so that water could be brought in, and they brought in barges, and they literally disassembled the city and hauled it off. So when they were done, there was no recognition that a city had ever been there before. And they would take the men that they had captured, and they would tie them together, and they would parade them down the streets of Babylon naked so that people would mock them and humiliate them and destroy their confidence. Oh, yes, I'm telling you what, they were very serious when they went to battle. And, folks, we've got to be serious about this battle that we're in, this walk with God. Amen. The enemy wants to do that to you. But here is the opposite of that. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly. Praise God. He marched the devil down the street and said, look what I did to him. He's defeated. Praise God. We've got to see where we are as a child of God. We've got to understand what God has given to us. Amen. Amen. Somebody said amen. The word spoiled there, and I'm going to finish with this here in just a few moments. The word spoiled means to divest wholly oneself. Amen. To put off or to spoil. I like that definition, to divest wholly oneself. In other words, when something is spoiled, there is nothing left that resembles the way it was. Praise God. It's like taking an old rusty car and running it through the chipper, and it's chipped up into many fine parts and sent to a blasting furnace. And it's melted down and made back into sheet metal, and it goes through the process. And at the end of the process, it's a brand new car. It does not resemble the old car. It does not smell like the old car. It doesn't drive like the old car. It's a brand new car. Praise God. And when the Lord stripped the enemy, the devil and his angels, when he stripped them of their power, I'm telling you what, he did it so that we could have the power of God in us, so that we could walk in the Holy Ghost and we could walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Ephesians 6 and 1, put on the whole armor of God. 6 and verse 11, I'm sorry. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Praise God, having done all to stand. Sometimes that's all you can do is just stand. But you're not standing in weakness. You're standing in strength. Anybody with me here this morning? Amen. Lest any man spoil you through philosophy. I'll just give you a few definitions before we finish here this morning. Let no man spoil you through philosophy. That philosophy is someone who is fond of wise things. You ever met somebody that knows it all? Anybody ever met somebody that knows it all? A couple of you have. I have. Amen. It's grievous to be around them, because you can't say anything they're going to say at all. They know it all. They've done it all. And if they haven't done it, they've read about it, and they know everything. Fond of wise things. You know what? Before we can really get a hold of God, we've got to be abandoned of all of our wisdom and knowledge. Paul said, everything I've ever done, I count it as dung that I may win Christ. I have bankrupted myself. I have bankrupted myself spiritually, and what I am now, I am totally by the will of God and the power of God. By through philosophy and vain deceit. Amen. Vain deceit, that's foolishness. That's foolishness. Amen. We cannot be given over to foolishness. We've got to be serious about this. Walk with God. And after the tradition of men, and this speaks of the Jewish traditionary laws, amen, that was given to Moses, the traditions that they had above and beyond the law, where they had to wash their hands a certain way before they ate, where they did this, that, and the other. And it was so powerful in them that when Jesus didn't do it, they condemned him and criticized him. And after the rudiments of the world, amen. And the rudiments of the world there to conform to virtue and piety, or to walk, that's what it means, or to keep in step with. And when it comes to virtue and piety, we keep in step with that. But the rudiments of the world, in other words, it means to keep in step with the world. The fads, the fashions, all the things that the world promotes. Well, praise God. Hollywood. I could go down a long list here this morning. Amen. But I'm telling you, we're living in a generation and in a time that is given over to the rudiments of this world. Praise God. Say, well, can't we have any fun? I can almost read these young people's mind. Can we have any fun? You can have fun. You can enjoy life. Praise God. But there's some things that mom and dad will say, you can't do that, because they understand it leads to other things. And it goes to other things. Well, somebody said, praise the Lord. Let's stand together this morning. Abigail, would you come, please? Anybody struggling this morning with physical infirmity? Amen. While we sing this morning, I want you to come and ask the Lord for healing. Scripture says, anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And the great thing about it says, if he has committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. You know what? We have victory here this morning. If you want the Holy Ghost, amen, come this morning. If you have never been baptized in the name of Jesus, come this morning. If you've never repented of your sins and said, God, I'm a dirty, filthy sinner. I need you more than anything in all this world. Come this morning because he's here and he wants to give us victory. There is victory here this morning. Praise God. Praise God. What's your chorus? Praise the Lord. While she's singing this morning, why don't we just come and stand before the Lord this morning? Come on. And if it's appropriate, just get somebody close to you and pray for them. And ask the Lord to help them to understand what we've heard this morning. There's victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. If you need special prayer, just come and stand here this morning. We'll all pray for you.